What's going on? Welcome to Totally Blitz Podcast. We in the Fight Club. It's been a minute, but we're back. We got stacked cards to talk. Amazon Prime's first ever card with our boy Tim Zhu on that motherfucker. Oscar Valdez taking on Liam Wilson. Even with Rolly and Pitbull. Like, we actually got a good little weekend ahead of us, boys. Before we get into it, go down, like, and subscribe. Comment your thoughts on the fights. Comment your thoughts on everything boxing related. I'm Paul, pick 'em, win 'em, Contra, and I'm joined with.
What's going on, fellas? It's your boy Marcus PT Penley.
Your boy South Paul's the Run Boxing.
Been a long time. I think it's been a few. I know it's been at least 2 weeks, maybe closer to a month. But
last it's been a minute.
It's been a minute, man. Look, man. I missed y'all boys. No Diddy.
No Diddy. Facts. No Diddy.
Whoa.
We was talking Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou last time we was here.
And even before that fight, I think we had a break.
Huge break coming into the year.
Was that the first card we reviewed this year?
No,
Joshua.
No, because wasn't Emmanuel Navarrete Oscar Valdez this year?
That was last year.
I don't remember for bro.
That might have been our first card. I don't think it was. I think we probably sprinkled something in.
Joshua.
I know that was the first like major.
That was in August of last year.
Damn. That's August? That
oh, boy.
How's that to say, huh? Yeah, that was August of last year.
Damn. It might be.
Navarrete versus Valdez fight. I think because I remember, like, bro, we're back this weekend. I think that's the first fight we covered because, like, I can't remember a memorable boxing fight within the first 2 months.
I can't either.
Boxing's lit for the summer so far.
Oh, yeah. It took a couple months for
the first
get started. But...
Facts. Like, the first 2 months, it was, like, a little slow, but then it started boom, 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 all back to back.
That schedule is insane. Like, the schedule we have, like,
We were supposed to get Usyk Fury until that shit fucking dwindled.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be the first fight, I think.
It's crazy because I still don't think we're seeing that fight.
I think that was supposed to be in February.
It was.
Yep. February 14th? No.
No, I think we talked to Keyshawn Davis fight, didn't we? Because I could have sworn we was talking shit about Andy Cruz's first fight.
We did talk Keyshawn Davis, but I don't remember what card that was.
And it was like an Andy Cruz's first fight in America's or like second fight or whatever. Maybe I can't remember. It hasn't really been much.
Oh, Teofimo.
Oh, yeah, versus Pedraza.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Teofimo versus Ortiz. Yeah, Ortiz got robbed.
How could we forget about the GOAT? Before we get into that,
what did y'all think about Anthony Joshua? And Francis, because I haven't really got to hear y'all's take on it or nothing. We had like a fucking demolition job. Like,
I mean, just one too, you know what I'm saying? Send them MMA boys packing, you know. Hey, you know, we had to fight MMA fans talking about them. Oh yeah. Yeah, he won. What's the guy name? Oh yeah, Ngannou. Oh, Ngannou won. Ngannou did this. He totally can do this. I'm like, no, Jake. Bro, Jake Paul is beating up y'all Hall of Famers, a Disney kid. Like, they need to calm down.
I will say that one thing about Jake Paul shit is, like, he's fighting old vets, guys. But the same token, before the fights actually happened, like, before Tyron Woodley, it was like, oh, Tyron, he's about to knock him out. Blah, blah. And then afterwards, it's like, Tyron only can wrestle. It's like, only wrestle.
And many boys cannot compete, bro. Their strike and responsibility is crazy. They leave their chins up in the air every time they throw a punch. But it looks like this.
Yeah, facts. Or they be having a wider stance. Like, they're used to like, wider strikes.
And stuff.
Yeah, like, boxing is more tight, and their punches are more tight. And MMA fighters, they like to throw, like, not saying all of them, but most of them, they like to throw them hooks. And, like, they move different. Their footwork is different.
Francis,
they got no defense.
One thing that was very noticeable because now people are saying, like, oh, like, is AJ better than fucking Fury, this and that? No, he's not better than Fury. Fury is a fat fuck that loves to do cocaine and strippers. So, like, he wasn't taking this shit seriously. And that shit, I think this
fight,
that fight, But the AJ versus Francis fight is shows exactly like how serious did Fury take it. Because if AJ would have won in there a little bit, it would have been like, okay, Francis is legit. But the fact that AJ just fucking trash canned him and moved on, the fact that they're throwing a simple feint and Francis is fucking every time is dropping his hand. And that's all it took was the 1-2. Like, okay, I'm just going to commit to the fucking 2. And like,
bro, was just working that classic 1-2, bro. And you seen it in the locker room before he came out, like before the walkout. You seen Joshua working on that 1-2. 1-2.
I mean, like me at work, like picturing up, like me at the bar about to fight somebody, like, all right, I'm going to hit the ass with that. 1-2. 1-2. No.
Francis wasn't ready for that. So, I mean, that's shut what Fury was supposed to do.
Did it shut the door on boxing and MMA crossovers? Because the one thing we did say was, like, Francis has to at least look. We said it about the Fury fight. Francis has to make it competitive. Otherwise, if he goes out there and gets terminated, no one wants to see MMA versus boxing ever again. Like, that shit's dead
enough. Or, like, at least
I agree.
Don't gas Francis and say, like, oh, he can go win a belt or go try to put him in a title fight in his, like, third fight or something. Like, that needs to be dead. If he wants to take the boxing route, go start fighting, you know, like, some other type of dudes and, like, you know.
Go fight Danny Dubois. Go fight fucking Joe Joyce. Joe Parker.
Yeah. He needs to fight Tom Dubois.
Wow, they probably do the same shit.
It's a really good fight. I agree.
I see. The one thing about Big Baby fight is I just feel like whoever clips the chin first wins that fight.
Facts.
Probably will be Wilder just because he has years of experience. The resume's ass, but at least he has years of
practicing. Who moves around the ring better, Francis or Wilder? That's probably a good question.
Wilder can't move with them fucking twigs of legs, bro. Them fucking still. I mean, I just had to get y'all's take on it because it's been a couple months. I know it's not what's fresh on everyone's mind, but we just haven't been able to speak on it yet. But yeah, like AJ took care of business. And if he wants to fight the big dogs, I don't want it. But people are reacting like, oh, AJ should get the winner of Usyk versus Fury. I'm not trying to watch Usyk versus AJ another fucking time around.
Nobody wants to see that fight. It's just one sided. Like, it's gonna be the same outcome each time. Usyk is gonna own him. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, the reason why AJ didn't want to like blitz that fight is because he was gonna get knocked out. He knew he was gonna get stopped. He knew he would get gassed, and Usyk doesn't consume gas. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna keep hitting him with the flurries and knocking him out. He'll stop him in the corner.
AJ
wanted to box. Yep, that's why AJ tried to box with him. AJ knows he can't box with him. You know what I'm saying? AJ's only way to win is a knockout. AJ didn't press him all fight. Let's see what happens.
Hey, I will say, if it takes 4 bums to get AJ's confidence back, give me them 4 bums, because he is.
I mean, bum
talk shit on him, but he is still the upper echelon. Like, AJ is the bridge that gaps.
He looked good.
Yeah,
he did.
But I think AJ.
I've never been a bigger AJ fan.
AJ's the bridge between the Fury and Usyks and the Zangs and the Parkers and the Joyces of the world. Like,
he's that middle guy.
He's that middle guy. True.
That's how bad the heavyweight division is.
And when the people are saying, when it's all said and done, this is my last comment on this because we got to move on. We got to stack that spice to talk. Is Fury versus AJ in Wembley in the future is not dead. Because of AJ, you know, if AJ would have like went down with the Usyk losses and shit, that shit would have been dead in the water. But it's been built up again, and them UK fans go crazy.
Shout out them boys.
Let's talk. I wanted to talk to the Amazon Prime card. Y'all don't know, first ever boxing card on Amazon Prime, PBC, Tim Tszyu versus Fandora, Rolly versus Pitbull. But before we get into that, I do kind of want to knock out some of these other cards that are kind of, I guess, like time killers. You can watch this before.
Damn.
As you get ready.
Yeah. Those are some.
As you get ready.
Those are my favorites, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't get playing with SLX.
I I can't disrespect it too much because there is going to be two fights that are going to be very close on these that we're about to talk. One, Top Rank.
I was just going to say Top Rank's on Friday night, so I fuck with that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I love Friday night boxing.
First. Even better, we start with them first. Top Rank, Richard Torres is on the card. Shout out my boy Richard Torres, one of my favorite heavyweights. Should get out there. He has yet to see the fucking judges. Hopefully it's an 8-round fight, second time ever. Hopefully he gets another finish. But what we really got to talk about, Oscar Valdez coming off the Navarrete fight, taking on Liam Wilson, who I think it was what, early last year or the year before he lost to Navarrete as well. Went off. I think he went on and win 2-3 more fights since then. He's on a nice little win streak. Now they're taking, I think it's WBA or WBC interim belt for at 130. That's what this is for. But Valdez minus 400, Liam Wilson plus 350. And I believe this is over across the pond in Liam Wilson's backyard.
Is this in UK?
Is it? I didn't know this fight was taken on at a time where it was a little, because I was looking up, I was placing bets on all this. Theirs was at like midnight or some shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is their fight at midnight?
Why can't it be at midnight?
Oh, it's in Glendale, Arizona. I apologize. That's a big, okay. Huge difference. Oscar Valdez. Instead of Liam Wilson's backyard, this is Oscar Valdez's backyard.
Yeah, so you are from over the pond in Glendale, Arizona?
Yeah, I want you to host this show, motherfucker. I want you to get all these stuff together before we get. I got multiple cards to talk about, and I'm trying to remember a card from 2 months ago.
Y'all seen when Valdez said he wants to be mentioned with like the Mexican greats, the Canelos, the Julio Cesar Chavez, the Eric Morales. Eric Morales is the greatest.
Juan Marquez. He's not even Juan Marquez level.
You know what I'm saying? But like, here's the thing: there's still a slight chance he can turn it around. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know the ship may be sailed now, but a couple of championships he tries to go undisputed, he could be mentioned with the greats, but I don't see it happening, even though I like Valdez. He's very exciting. I can't really
recall. I always like Valdez.
I can't really recall a boring Valdez fight. The only time I hated Valdez was when he's going to fight Shakur. Then I was full team Shakur. You know, said I was hating on Valdez. He did steroids. He got caught for steroids. Didn't have the worst performance of his career against Clase Style. And he actually lost that fight, but the judges gave him the win because the fight was in Arizona, so the judges gave him the win. But and the reason why Clase Style lost was because for some reason, he's Brazilian, right? The Brazilian Cuban fighters just cannot stop dancing inside the ring. They keep showboating and dancing, and that loses them the rounds. It doesn't make any sense to me. They keep doing all these dance moves, losing the rounds. And they get surprised when the judges say, "Hey, you didn't win this fight because you want to be a ballerina instead of a fighter."
Facts.
No, but I agree with you on everything except for the greatest Mexican of all time. My opinion. Salvador Sanchez is, in my opinion, the best Mexican fighter of all time. He just died.
Oh, really? Wow. That's different. But I dig it. That's different. But
you go a little
I meant to say he's my favorite, not the greatest. But I meant to say he's my favorite of all time. I know he's not. I know he's not. But dude, that guy is amazing.
But I think for Valdez, for Valdez to be considered one of these great Mexicans of all time, like that ship's long sailed. Like, Navarrete has that win over him. Both Mexican fighters repping the country. Like, I think at this point, yeah, he's former champion, but the Shakur fight was bad. Like, that was a shutout. Like, you can't be considered one.
That shit was bad. He couldn't even hit shit.
Canelo, 21, however old Canelo was. He didn't even look that bad against Floyd, even though he looked fucking bad. He didn't lose every single round to Floyd.
Yeah. He still touched Floyd.
I don't know. It's actually about the same. I'll be honest. They both
barely. I'll say Canelo touched Floyd more than Oscar touched Shakur.
But Canelo was still a young fighter, whereas Valdez is in his prime, especially 2 years ago, was definitely in his prime defending
his. Yeah, he's 29.
Yeah. 29. I mean, I think he'll still be great. But he'll be ranked above the Zerdos. That would definitely be facts. But he's not gonna be.
Yeah.
He's not gonna be fucking on my on my Mount Rushmore, when I look at that Mexican flag, that's for damn sure. That ship has sailed for you, buddy. You had to go. That Navarrete fight, if he would have won that one, that was his chance to right his wrongs, in my opinion. Don't be twisted. I think he wins this fight, and I think he knocks out Leon Wilson. But that's more on what happens when you put a Mexican in with a UK fighter. What tends to be the tendency? Well, Leon Wilson has been stopped.
The Mexican comes in.
Oh, boy, Paul dropping the bombs.
I got to give credit to that. That Valdez versus Burchelt fight was legendary. That's one of the greatest Mexican fights to ever exist, man.
That
knockout was beautiful.
He timed it. Like, he did a whole windmill with that left foot. He said, fuck.
Bro, that timing was exactly what fucking Eddie Reynoso trains in camp, every fucking camp, where they do that hook with that little circle pad, and they're always working that hook. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly
what Oscar for that fight, did. Too. And he was the underdog. Everyone's picking Burchell because Burchell was the boogeyman.
I was going Oscar. I've always been ever since he broke his jaw.
I think Navarrete beat him with a left hook KO, and I think Valdez, coming from the same that camp, is gonna get him with a left hook KO.
I like it. I like it, man. Valdez, he's an exciting fighter to watch. He's really exciting, but he went against the two greats, Navarrete and Shakur. You know what I'm saying? I can't really like.
And Navarrete won that fight. Don't get me wrong, but it was on a volume thing. Like, if you look at percentages, Valdez was in this, like, actually shooting at a better clip. It was just Navarrete had a pace that's almost. Yeah. Navarrete was throwing 1,000 punches, throwing 100 plus into championship rounds. Like, it's just like, they don't cut him like that. It's a little different.
1,000 punches was crazy.
They're like, all right, wait for him to slow down. What, he's going to slow down, and then it's our turn. And then here we are.
I predicted it on the podcast. I said, bro, the pace is going to win him the fight. This man, Navarrete, goes at such a pace.
Leon Wilson, you know, I fuck with UK fighters, but, I mean, it's a tendency, especially, like, not Liverpool, not Wales, not Scottish, but, like, part of fucking the UK, when they got that flag and shit, when they, like, really, the UK guys, they really ain't got no pop. They have good hands. They have good fundamentals. They have a good jab. They have good coaching, good pedigree. They have no pop that makes people wary of them a lot of the times. And that's like Valdez just come off 1,000 punch punishment from Navarrete.
Right.
He's good. What does Leon Wilson have that's going to make Valdez be like, oh, I don't want to keep forward? Like
Josh Morrison. Josh Morrison has no pop either. Like, these UK fighters, they're weak in the hands, you know what I'm saying? And it's a good thing you didn't say Wales because the goat comes from Wales. You know who I'm talking about.
He got them Kenny Pickett hands, bro.
Can you pick? Yep.
Yeah, everybody said they're just weak in the hands. All wrists. Yeah. No pop.
They pop it out. And the worst is they try to fight on the inside. You can't fight on the inside with no power. That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Not against a Mexican.
Exactly. And they have the audacity too, also. they don't try to sit out here and jab, but they just, you know what I'm saying?
This motherfucker tried to come inside and hit me with a body hook. Hold up.
This is actually why I don't like UK fighters. To me, they aren't really the most fun to watch. It feels like it's its own world. It feels like it's its own world. Like, UK boxing, it's its own world.
Plus 350, minus 400. You got Oscar Valdez, kind of a big favorite here in Glendale. Is it? I got finished. I really do think he's going to finish Leon Wilson. Been finished twice already. He's kind of
I'm going with Oscar finish.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like it should be an easy one. I feel like he's taking this second run. I mean, it's gonna be tough because that division's deep, young fighters. But I feel like he's gonna take this second run for another belt, pretty serious. So
Valdez is minus 400, but if you all listen to us and take it by finish, he's sitting at like plus 200 to get the finish, which.
So listen to us. Totally Blitz.
Next one that we got to get out of the way, Golden Boy, the return of Zerto. That boy got the win over Joe Smith, first fight at cruiserweight, both of them. Gets the win and immediately jumps into the title shot against Arsen Golomarian. Zerto's slight favorite, minus 240, Arsen plus 190. Back in 2018 is when Golemarion won the belt against Mike Flanagan. 27-0 overall. A lot of finishes on the record. He is legit. He's a legit cruiserweight. He's a little older now, but he's three defenses with the belt. He's no slouch. Golden Boy, I always make fun of them because they always send their fight. Like, look at Alexa Rocha last year. Like, they set him up to get his second loss of his career. When he really shouldn't have gotten that. They're trying to rebuild him back.
They should not have put Speedy in that fight, like, against Rocha. That was horrible for Rocha.
They just always do this thing where they had this guy, and for whatever reason, they think their guy's going to win, and they put him in there, and then their guy ends up like, oh, fuck, like, what did I sign up for? And this is – not saying that's what's going to happen, but the odds, minus 240, plus 190. Zerto, him and his cowboy hat and all, we got to see him against Bivol. Bivol schooled him. He goes against Joe Smith in a close fight. Now we got him against a legitimate cruiserweight. The odds are saying Zerto's a slight favorite. I don't know. I think this is legitimate. Out of all the fights on this whole weekend, I think this is the fight that might be the most exciting.
I don't know too much of the other guy, but I'm riding Team Zerto. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest Zerto fan at all. And I don't really pay attention to the cruiserweight as much as I should. I've been lacking in that division.
I shouldn't.
Yeah, okay. I'm not missing much.
Not
till Jake Paul comes.
Yeah. Well, Jake Paul was falling off, and he.
Y'all remember the WWE cruiserweight belt back in the day?
I have one at the crib. Like
that
a
shit gets
yeah.
That shit gets more respect in my household than the WBA, WBC, all of them cruiserweight belts.
I still got one.
That was like around 2008. WWE.
Yeah. That was when they were still pushing like the Rey Mysterios, Eddie Guerrero's, the smaller guys, the guys that were weren't 6'5" and 250.
The RKO.
The Hurricane.
Yep. The Hurricane.
Stop playing with. But yeah, that no one gives a fuck about cruiserweight. Like, maybe, like, Zerto gets this win and gets it popping because Arsene, Golemarion.
That's such an ugly division. Like, you're too small to be a heavyweight, but you're too damn big.
Me and Kev talked about this on UFC because he was talking about, oh, Aspinall and them, maybe should have their own division, Jelton Almeida, the Curtis Blades. I was like, nah, because Muhammad Ali, Deontay Wilder, like, Mike Tyson, guys that are, like, 200, 220, they don't want to be the fucking cruiserweight champ. Look at Holyfield. Arguably the best cruiserweight champ ever. What did he do once he got all the – he moved the fuck up. Usyk. He got the belt. He moved the fuck up. Because why? You want to be known as heavyweight champion of the fucking world.
Roy Jones Jr. is on cruiserweight.
Bro, especially when you got heavyweight right there, bro. Like, no, right like cruiserweight, there. Bro. Like, come on, bro. That's like the mid title. Even if it's the world title, WBA, WBC, or whatever, bro. That shit mid to me. No disrespect.
Yeah. No disrespect.
They probably they'll beat me up.
I will say they definitely is not fighting. Like, we making fun of it, but come Saturday, Golden Boy, they fighting for real for this belt. I'm gonna go with the dog. I'm going with Art. I really don't like Zerto, bro. Every time he fights though, I do go find my right.
Oh boy, Zerto hated.
I put my right cow on every fucking time he fights. But
I want to. I'm a Zerto hater too.
Damn. I guess I gotta be one.
You got to, man. You know, it comes from the Bivol fight
he didn't have a lot of hype.
But it was like, yeah, before that, I thought he was very overrated.
His
like,
resume was pretty
and 0,
44 and 0. 40-0, 0 significant wins.
Yeah, like that shit was inflated as fuck.
And it showed in the B-ball fight. He got absolutely schooled. But, I mean, and this is Golden Boy for you. I mean, you got this fight. And honestly, I just might want to see a Golden Boy lose. That's why I'm going against Zerto. But also, Alexis Rocha is going fucking on the co-main event. They crawled his ass out back to get him on this
Golden fight. Boy hater?
Golden Boy hater, bro. Free Ryan Garcia.
You got to be a Golden Boy hater. How could you look at that company and be like, yeah, I support them. Yeah, I'm a fan of them. Yes, I'm a fan of Oscar De La Hoya. I'm a fan of the shenanigans.
I'm a fan of old Oscar.
They fucking
I'm a fan of the fighters, but not of Oscar. Like, I'm a fan of Floyd Schofield.
Virgil Ortiz is with them, right? That's his best fighter?
Yep. Virgil Ortiz.
Virgil Ortiz is tripping, bro.
Virgil is straight up trash.
First fight back's a catch weight, and he's calling out the fucking Jermell Charlo at 154 and shit. Like, bro, you didn't even make 154 for this fight. What are you doing? Like, how are you going to be, like, you were in a new weight class. You didn't even make the weight class because you fat as fuck. You're a bully. And you calling out the champ of the weight class you couldn't even – I don't know, but like that's Golden Boy in a nutshell for me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that dude Virgil, he is garbage.
GBP.
Amazon Prime, best card of the night, best card of the weekend.
Yes, sir.
First card ever, so you know they had to pull out the hitters. We got Tim Tszyu versus Sebastian Fandor. No Keith Thurman. We'll get into that. We got Rolly versus Pitbull. I'm not going to lie. Twitter is saying this fight's more 50-50 than what people keep talking about it. Some people are saying Rolly's ass is going to get KO'd. Some people are saying Pitbull don't belong at 140, and Rolly's going to show y'all. Laura's return, or not return, but it's just been a while, versus Michael Zarafa. Laura's getting kind of old. I'll leave it at that. Then we got Julio Cesar Martinez defending his belt against Angel Cordova, undefeated. Elijah Garcia versus Kyron Davis. Some people on this podcast think that might be the best fight on the weekend. Carmel Moulton is back. Floyd. And then Brian Mendoza steps in to fight Sebastian Fandor's opponent since Fandor moves into the main event. And it's Sergey Bolachok. It's a pick'em. This is for the interim WBC middleweight title. Or was it light middleweight? I don't know. 154. Title, but
that's normal middleweight.
Out of all those fights, y'all know we're saving Tim Tszyu Fandor for last. Out of the other ones, which ones would y'all like to talk about
first? Let's go bottom. Like, what's
start from the bottom.
Bottom top, at least in my eyes, just to get this out of the way because it'll be quick. Carmel Moulton, he's back. I don't even know the guy he's fighting, but just stay tuned for that. We've talked about him already. This is Floyd Mayweather's product.
It don't matter who he's fighting.
It really don't. I will say, I don't know. Do y'all think Carmel Mullen's going to talk more afterwards or Floyd? That's the biggest question mark to me.
Floyd is going to talk a lot more, but I do think Carmel Mullen is him. I think he's him. You know what I'm saying? I'm buying a little bit more of the hype. He's very young, so I don't expect him to fight anyone until three years at least. But he's very fun to watch, and he works a lot. He's in the gym every single day. He has insane work ethic, so. He's only going to get better.
He got insane fast hands, great combos. He looks like he could be what Floyd was prior to his injury because he definitely has the combos and KO with the way he's so, and like you said, work ethic too. But I don't want, what I hate about the Floyd shit is the way, Carmel Mola, who do you think you want to fight next? Or what are some upcoming fights you want to talk about? And he's about to talk, and then Floyd, but hold on.
First of all, I see myself in him.
Yeah, I see myself in him. But
he wouldn't even say that. He says, I'm better than all these young fighters.
Who beat the most world champions ever? And in the shortest amount of time. Who had the biggest gates in Las Vegas?
Who 23, had the most 23 world champions.
All right. What was the question again?
Bro. He always find a way to gas himself, bro.
I hate that, bro. So hopefully we don't see that. But next one, Elijah Garcia versus Tyron Davis. I want Gator to take this one because I know Elijah Garcia. I don't really know much about Chiron other than the Benavidez fight. Why is this fight to you circled?
Because a lot of people don't know that Chiron Davis is actually Keyshawn Davis' brother. And also, Chiron Davis is pretty fun to watch. He's a rough fighter. Elijah Garcia, he's on the rise up. He's a very fun little fighter to watch. He's a prospect. I think he's one of the best prospects in boxing. But this is definitely gonna be one to tune in. So, and Kyron Davis, you know, he's not old. He's 29 years old, so he's still in his prime. He has three losses, but his last loss was to Benavidez. Where I don't think his last loss, but one of them was.
Yeah, it wasn't his last. It was a couple of fights. He has a couple of wins since then, but his last loss to Benavidez, where he quit on the corner and he's like, I can't get up.
I can't get up, man. But yeah, man. I don't think Elijah's gonna make him come in the field, but I think he gets the victory. But it's gonna look a little rough. You know what I'm saying? It's not gonna be one of those flashy highlight real wins. You know, it could be, and he could prove me wrong, but Cajon is coming to fight. That man can fight.
So are we taking this as we've seen how Cajon did against Benavidez, who that was at 168. This fight's at 160. So Benavidez was definitely the bigger guy. But are we judging how Elijah Garcia does against him based on how Benavidez did against him, or like if Garcia...
No. From his other fights. Like I was watching some of his fights and highlights, and dude, he's in. But I'm going to Elijah Garcia. I think he just has more talent, more skill. You know what I'm saying? But Cajon, he's kind of one dimensional.
Mark, I didn't know this was your homeboy's brother. Are you rocking with the fam?
Wasn't he with Top Rank?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he left, right? Or they didn't.
Probably was one of them that sunk when they was sink or swim.
They probably sold his ass. I mean, shit. You know who I'm rocking with? The Davis Bros. Where they from, right? Virginia? Or some shit?
I believe.
Some shit like that.
Yeah, Virginia. Like I'm secretly a big Keyshawn Davis fan, but I talk so much shit on him. I talk a lot.
I am anti Keyshawn, so I'm actually
bro. The reason why I'm a big Keyshawn is because I was at his debut and I looked up his Instagram, and since that day, and that was before the Olympics run. That was his debut was before the Olympics.
So
like, because you could do it before your third fight. So he joined the Olympics. So like, I was watching the Olympic fights. I watched it. I was at his pro debut. So I'm riding with him to the wheels fall off. But shout out the Davis Bros.
He was fighting on the Herring card, the Jermell Herring versus Shakur card. He was like the co-main event. Man, he put on the show that night.
Facts, man. So I mean. Say, if he's saying this is going to be a banger, I'm going to have to tune in. It sounds like this pay-per-view is worth the money.
It is. Amazon Prime not fucking around, boy. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 title fights, 5 including interim belts. So the first fight for the belt that we're going to talk is Julio Cesar Martinez defending his WBC World Flyweight title against Angelino Cordova. Ooh. Then flyweights get active. Julio Cesar Martinez on the rise. He did lose to Chocolatito about a year or two ago. It was a great fight. Chocolatito is one of them goat tier.
2 years ago.
Yeah, going to be a Hall of Famer. You say 2 months ago?
2 years ago. 2 years
ago. Oh, 2 years ago. I was like, hold on.
February 2022 when he lost that fight, yeah.
Since then, went on. He rattled off, what, three wins since then? Either 2 or 3, but I know he's definitely he's won his last few. He's current champion. Now he's taking on Angelino Cordova, 18-0-1. It is a pick'em, honestly. -300 to +200 odds for Cordova. Mexican versus Venezuela. A lot of people are saying this is gonna be Martinez is gonna get the good win, but I mean Cordova is young and hungry. And you know these flyweight fights. Flyweight, in my opinion, is one of the most interesting divisions. Like, especially the
smaller
division goes.
Those smaller classes are the most exciting.
Yeah, division goes, the quicker the belts turn over most of the time. It's like these guys be champs for a year or two before the next guy comes in and knocks them off. And a lot of people.
And they're always high intense fights, always high volume.
And your career don't last, not that don't last long down there. We've seen them with the Four Horsemen and shit, the last with Rung Vasai, Chocolatito Estrada, and all them boys. But Julio Cesar Martinez definitely isn't that. But if he goes on and has a great second half of his career, he could do something.
I actually think he's extremely average. He, you know what I'm saying? He did steroids and he still looked terrible. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have any defense. He gets hit in the face a lot. He doesn't have any defense at all. He was just standing there, like, just taking his shots. He was literally a human punching bag. Like, they use that phrase a lot, but, dude, he did not move a muscle. He did not move at all when Chocolate was throwing those punches at him. He has no defense. He has a little bit of a chin, I guess, but he has no defense at all, and he can throw punches, but not really. He just throws punches. They're not really, and they kind of in volume, but they're not really, like, there's no strategy. There's no strategy. He has a little bit of power. He has some pop, but, yeah, I mean,
I feel like a lot of people do that in that weight class where they're just kind of throwing, but not really like
laying on them.
I don't know. They're kind of just like keeping the punches there and moving around.
The problem is he doesn't block. He blocks with his face. Like, he doesn't even block.
He blocks with his face.
He gets hit, throws. He gets hit, throws. He doesn't block. He just gets hit, throws, and throws back. So he's actually a fun little fighter to watch, but I don't think he's really anything special. You know what I'm saying? When, you know, the Bam... Wait, Bam was in his weight class, and they were rumored to fight, but...
Yeah, it didn't. I don't think that was ever Now Bam's going to fight Estrada. They had WBC been having plans with that for a while.
That's going to be a good one.
Franchise champ. They had plans for the Bam Estrada fight for a while. That's why old Bam went down and fought some guys to set up for Estrada. I think Estrada's Chocolatito fight. Like they had this whole shit already pre-grammed. Whoever won that fight was going to take Bam.
Bam needs way more attention. Like, that is an insane fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, on this fight, I'm going to go with my Mexican brother, Julio Cesar Martinez. I do think, though, I'm not betting on him. He's definitely not on none of my parlays. Cordova could get the win here. There's not a lot of tracker. Like I go on Tapology, I can only see four fights of him. There's not much on YouTube. He's one of these Venezuelan guys, I guess. I don't know, but from what I can see from Twitter, people be hyping him up. Like, yeah, no, like, this boy's the real deal.
I'm going for the Venezuelan. I think the Venezuelan is going to win because you got to think he's 18-0, 12 knockouts. You know what I'm saying? He only has one draw, but you know what I'm saying? Many could argue that he won that draw. So, and that draw was like his fourth fight of his career. So, I'm actually going with the Venezuelan. Martinez has four losses.
I might rock with the Cordova or Cardona, whatever his name was.
All right. And then our last fight before we get – I mean, I'm not trying to discredit these fights because these are title fights, but Arisonda Laura versus Michael Zarafa. This is a close fight. All these fights are close on the odds. Laura -390, Zarafa +280. Laura's 40 years old, still big favorite on here. Known for his Canelo fight back in the day, which now goes ages ago. This is fucking long time ago. Who else did he fight? Jarrett Hurd. He lost to Hurd back in the day, but he always.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like these are
supposed to fight Charlo, but Charlo don't.
Jarrett Hurd, bro. What the fuck?
I miss Big Baby Hurd.
You did?
Crazy.
Big Baby Hurd.
The downfall of him is insane.
This is Tim Zhu's boy, Zarafa. I mean, Australian fighter. Definitely has to be in
okay.
with Tim Zhu. No, I don't know that for sure, but I mean, they're not many of them Australian boys. They definitely have to stick together. Best known, he knocked out Jeff Horn, but then he did lose the rematch to Jeff Horn, and he did lose to Kell Brook back in like 2016, 2017 or some shit. But I mean, Laura's 40 years old. I mean, the odds have him as a pretty big favorite, -400. I don't know, in my opinion. This fight kind of got me kind of scared because I know Laura is definitely the better boxer. Zarafa, every time he gets up to that world level. I mean, he did knock out Jeff Horn, but every time he gets up to that level, he comes back down to earth. But at 40 years old, does Laura still have it in him?
I think they just kind of set this one up for Laura to win. So I think he's going to look good. He'll get, he'll get paid. He'll look dominant, but he won't. It's going to be a boring fight, is what I'm saying. It's going to be a very, very, very boring fight. Like, this is going to be where you, like, turn on the different
Tell me the 40-year-old ain't got fucking knockout power in him right now.
He never had knockout power.
I know. He's a skilled Cuban.
That Cuban style is very very effective. It gets very tedious and boring at times, but it's dominant. It works.
Them southpaws would be dangerous.
You got Cuba versus Australia, Mark.
Shit, I mean, I don't even know what to expect. See Lara coming back, that's pretty wild. Yeah, I rock with Lara, man. Fuck the people that say he beat Canelo, but
split decision.
Well, come on now. He whooped Canelo's ass. I mean,
nah,
like, this man.
I think that fight is over exaggerated.
It's not.
It's just like the Triple G fight, but I'm interested to see Laura. I mean, I don't even know.
You think that Triple G fight is exaggerated. Canelo won like three.
No, that one's definitely exaggerated. People act like Triple G was cool.
We can't.
I'm going to just say this one time. He only won three rounds that first fight. But
Triple G did whoop his ass that first fight. Next one. We got to talk. I mean, I saved this one. It's definitely on the under a little earlier than these fights, but I had to save it closer towards the Tim Tszyu fight. Sergey Bolchak, 23-1, Ukrainian, is taking on Brian Mendoza. He was supposed to be taking on Fandora in a 50-50 fight until Fandora stepped in for the Keith Thurman pullout. So Brian Mendoza stepped in for Fandora's fighter. Here we are now. I will want to point out Fandora, who lost to Mendoza. We all know that. Fandora was a slight favorite against Bolchak. And then now that Brian Mendoza stepped in, Bolchak is a slight favorite over Mendoza. Even though Mendoza beat Fandora, even though, you know, Fandora was probably winning that fight prior to the KO.
Probably because of the late.
The push step in. But, I mean, kind of opposite fighters in their own right. But we got El Flaco versus Brian Mendoza. Ukrainian style. Ukrainians like to fight. And then we got Mendoza, who, I mean, 2023, he was the underdog story of the year, basically. Everyone was fucking with him. Everyone rode with him up until Tim Tszyu took care of business. So this where he gets his story back on track. I mean, he's known for rebuilding his career to do it again.
Awesome. I'm riding with Mendoza. I think since I heard he was in the camp with Tim, he's been sparring on they was probably doing some high level sparring in this. I mean, I feel like he's really locked in. He's getting another opportunity. I feel like he's gonna go in there and do work. It's gonna be a good fight though, because I think they're both gonna come forward. It's not gonna be a lot of moving around. They're gonna be throwing.
Bolchak, I mean, I know Gator and Mark, y'all got better boxing stuff, credentials than me, but I'd be looking at Bolchak's record, and I'm just like, I don't know who any of these motherfuckers are, bro. I'm like looking down.
I don't really know about bro.
His last four fights are Patrick Alatoy on Hollywood Fight Nights. All these are Hollywood Fight Nights cards. Nathaniel Gilmore, Aaron Coley, Rafael Igabuli, then Rock City Rumble, Brandon Byers.
You don't know Rafael Igabuli?
He has a loss to Brandon Adams and Ring City 4. And I'm like, I don't know where he is a slight favorite. I half of me saying, like, I didn't believe in the Mendoza train. I thought he got a good KO against Fandora, but I had always said, like, Fandora's setting himself up to get knocked out eventually. He loves to fight on the inside. He loves to make fights fun, wars, exciting for the fans. We love it as fans, but you're eventually going to get caught. Ryan Mendoza was losing that fight. He caught him eventually. And then caught him once, chased him down, finished the job. And
Trouble, that's who it is. Okay, I was trying to figure out who that Rafael person was.
But here we are now. And he's doing against his Ukrainian. I got no idea who this guy is. But the odds, the people, his record, they're all saying this guy's legit. But I just don't know his fucking record. I don't know these guys.
I don't know until I find out about the fight.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I was at least been in there with guys that I can – gauge. I go, okay.
Like Tim Titty, Tim Titty. But I'm going El Flaco.
Didn't he fight Ocampa too? Jesus
Ron,
Jason Rosario, Sebastian Fandora, Tim Tszyu, Benjamin Whitaker. At least most of these guys you know.
Rosario.
He stopped the Rosario hype train. That's where people, he was an underdog in that fight, just like this one.
Yeah,
Fandora fight. I'm going with the Ukrainian just because I don't think Brian Mendoza is that great of a fighter. But I really am scared just because who the fuck is this Ukrainian guy? Like, I really am.
He's El Flaco.
And I'm hoping it's one of them. No one wanted to fight him. One of them stories. Oh, he was the boogeyman type shit.
Well, yeah, guess what? My dog, my dog's gonna knock Al Flacco out. And we're gonna come back to this.
I'm gonna have a drink in the air if you do. Next one.
Yeah. I mean, he easily could.
Next one, Rolly versus Pitbull. Rolly plus 175, defending his belt against Pitbull Cruz minus 225. Twitter says this fight's 50-50. What y'all's thoughts on this fight?
It's not 50-50. It's Isak Cruz all the way, you know what I'm saying? We've seen Isak Cruz take Gervonta Davis punches. While those gloves were a lot smaller than the gloves that Tank used to knock him out, Rolly out with. So I think Rolly's going to get chin checked. Like Tank said, Rolly fights like a dumbass. He's an idiot. He doesn't have any boxing skills. He was just kind of the comrade of the Mayweather boxing gym. And Tank gave him the opportunity. And Rolly has power. You know what I'm saying? He has some exciting knockouts with the power, but he doesn't really have anything else besides power. No skills and nothing. Give me Isak Cruz. He's going to walk him down.
A lot of people are saying he's going to walk him down with a KO. A lot of other people are saying that Rolly's reach and power is going to catch him when he's trying to come in.
He doesn't know how to use that reach at all.
I think Rolly, it could be a 50-50 fight if Rolly uses a game plan. Because if Rolly goes in there and tries to brawl and try to go toe-to-toe, it probably won't really work out. But if he goes around there, uses the ring, kind of moves around, kind of like what he did with Tank, like just moving around a little bit more. And fucking, I feel like Rolly could take advantage of Isak's, like, he ain't really moving like that. He's kind of just trying to throw in the pocket and shit and kind of just sit there and really, like, beat you up on the ropes almost. But, I mean, shit, bro. It's kind of an ugly fight to really call a winner to me, but I might got to go with Rolly, bro.
It's an ugly fight, though, dude.
I'm going to go with Rolly, and I think if he uses a game plan, he can win. But if he shies away from a game plan and he starts to kind of exchange with Esau, that could end up bad. But, I mean, Rolly got power, too. So, I mean, you never know. Rolly, but, I mean, like you said, Cruz took Tank's power, so I feel that.
What's smaller than
Rolly? Looked great for 5 rounds against Tank before the KO.
Yeah, he did.
And
probably the best anyone ever looked.
Yeah, that gives me.
I don't know about that. Tank just wasn't throwing punches.
Well, Tank never throws punches early.
Cruz is definitely going to be the one aggressor in this fight. It's like, can Rolly fight off the back foot and be okay with this? Keep backing up, throwing.
Yeah.
Cruz looks about a lot better than Tank than Rolly did, too.
But it's the moment he decides to tuck that chin in, dig them toes into the fucking mat, and start banging back. And then that's when I feel like Cruz is going to – might be a liver shot because Rolly kind of long, got a big torso.
His stance is weird.
Cruz loves the old-fashioned duck the head Mexican, get in there, dig into the body, and it might be a nice little liver shot sitting there. I got Cruz here, but this is another fight where I thought it was going to be completely one-sided, like how me and Gator are thinking, but then the way people are discussing rolling, how Cruz isn't even like at 140. Is that power really even going to be a worry? I think so. At least for Rolly's build. Rolly's still kind of skinny. Like, Rolly's not, like, built, I don't think, to take some of these shots. Mm-mm. Big for the division, though. Don't get me wrong. But he's, like, big, like Fandora big. Like, he's just long and tall. Lengthy.
Yeah.
I don't think Rolly hasn't fought since he got off the Tank, right?
No, he
had that old Isabel man
against, and now
he was supposed to lose that fight too.
He was losing on the card.
Yeah, but fuck all that. Forget that. He gonna win. Y'all got to think about that.
So he hasn't. So he hasn't looked good since the summer of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
on
okay.
The Mayweather protection program.
Don't talk about Pretty Boy Floyd.
And then Amazon Prime's main event, first card ever, our boy Big Tim Zoo, the Soul Taker, -500 against Sebastian Fandora, the Tower and Inferno, filling in for Keith Thurman. Honestly, I like this fight a lot more than the Keith Thurman fight. No, don't get me wrong. Got respect for Keith, but that boy old. All right, and he inactive. I really didn't know his first fight back.
I agree.
Tim Zoo. Fandora brings his A game every fight. He makes the fight always fun. He's a difficult matchup for anybody because of his build. With his build, you expect him to be an outside fighter? Nah. He likes to get on the inside. He likes to get rough. Tim, this is going to be an interesting fight. This is what a lot of people thought was going to happen originally when Fandora fought Mendoza. They thought he would get the win and it would get this fight. Here we are. We're still getting it. How do we expect this fight to go down? I mean, the odds, this is the biggest odds on favorite of the whole weekend, -500 for Tim Zoo.
I really like this fight. I really like this fight for Fandora. There are two fun styles to go against each other. However, I think Tim Zoo is just going to make easy work of him. Tim Zoo, he's a superior fighter. He has more power. You know what I'm saying? He has more range, more consistency. That jab by Tim Zoo is just disgusting. It's really, really effective. It's just, it's one of those stingray jabs that just stings, stings, and stings. So, Tim Zoo, I think this is going to be another, I think this is going to be another showcase for him to show why he could be the best at 154. You know what I'm saying? You got Terrence Crawford already mandated to fight him, or already, you know, being offered to fight him, and never found that. So, I like where Tim Tootsie is headed. He's been taking nothing but tough fights, and I haven't been respecting it.
Facts. I think it's pretty crazy that he had to prepare for a southpaw in just like a week. Especially the type of southpaw homeboy is. Dude's like 6'6".
You're not taking on the phone.
And when you're sparring for a guy that's like Keith Thurman, so that's pretty tough. Gotta respect Tim for that, but I mean,
preparing for a 5'7" dude.
I got a
6'6" dude.
Facts, but I mean, I got Tim. I think Tim's gonna be able to really hurt Fandora in the later rounds. I think he's gonna be able to catch him. Fandora's gonna have probably the same mistakes of him just being able to be easy to hit. But he's also, he might be able to land some shit on Tim too, though, because you can't sleep on Fandora. He puts together nice combos and he's able to use his power, but he just doesn't really use his length to his advantage. Like, he's not really like, he's always trying to get in the pocket and try to throw some shit, and that's not really always the best option for him. So, I mean, I'm rocking with Tim. And I'm trying to see that Tim versus Crawford fight, man. I need that next.
Especially, like, if Fandora getting on the inside, but Fandora's body's so big, he's a big target. So, like, Tim's not going to be missing shots that he throws on the inside.
Those might be some deadly shots.
Fandora looked great against Mendoza before the knockout. Like, honestly, he was winning that fight. So, you kind of want to think, like, okay, the odds are so massive. But he's definitely gonna put on a great performance. It's if Lubin had a chin, Lubin probably maybe would have won that fight against him. But Lubin was never gifted with a chin, and I think Tim Zoo can box. Like, he didn't have the boxing ability, I don't think, until now. Like, not just now, but his last few fights, he's progressed. Like, he had went from just being this power type of guy that people thought, Charlo's going to cook him once Charlo fights him, to now, I'm like, nah, Tim Zoo's the best fighter in his division. Like, if Charlo, anybody, I think he wins that fight. He had to get to that point. He wasn't always there. And Fandora, once... Tim's strong. Like, Soul Taker is a great nickname for him. Like, Fandora's gonna get knocked down. I would place that bet. Like, there will be a knockdown. Fandora's gonna get knocked down. I don't know if he gets finished, but I think Tim Zoo wins this fight and is overwhelmed. Like, this overwhelms him in this fight.
Yeah, man. Shout out Tim Zoo, man. Soul Taker.
I'm telling you, but Tim Zoo.
We've been talking about him for a while too on this podcast.
He's with that guy. Mm-hmm. It was the one hope to take on Charlo, and when he take on Ocampa, he just like demolished him. He didn't
shout out the Knicks.
He didn't shy away from any fight. He was actually pissed off that he got the belt the way he did, but then he went out and defended it and like proved that he's the guy.
Well, I have to respect him, even though I'm low key a hater of it of his, and I can't wait because he's gonna lose his next fight. I really respect what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He's bringing excitement to the division. You know what I'm saying? Because before him, Charlo and those champions, they weren't really kind of fighting. They were fighting like once a year and stuff like
holding
that.
Holding Bell hostage.
The before division. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Holding Bell hostage. But no, his dude, he's like, you know, he's actually going out there and chasing all these fights. You know what I'm saying? The best guys who aren't Charlo, he's fought them all.
And this is just building up for the Crawford fight, because if he gets the win over Fandora, like, it's just like, this guy's the best guy at 154, hands down. Like, so then if Crawford knocks him off, it's like, he didn't just beat the champion at 154. He beat the guy at 154. Similar to any way doing to Fulton. It was just like, you didn't just beat a regular champion at that weight class when you moved up. You beat the best current champion there is.
That fight could really go similar to that.
I hope Big Tim puts on the fucking show. Honestly, he's putting on for Australia. Fandora is not a slouch, though. Don't, like, this isn't, like, the way a lot of people are talking, like, similar to us, like, it's a one-sided fight. Fandora has been on the winning side of all his fights. Like, thanks. Mendoza did get the KO, but who was on the winning side of that fight prior to that KO? Like, so Fandora on the odds being a plus some 400 underdog, kind of interesting, just because.
And especially the fact that Tim didn't even really get to prepare for Fandora is going to also cause problems.
And, like, if this goes the distance and it's a lot of early rounds and Fandora knows how to win rounds with his size and stuff, like, it's going to be an interesting fight. I got Big Timmy. We all got Big Timmy. But definitely one of the more interesting fights of this weekend.
Great card, man. Shout out Amazon Prime.
Yeah, bringing it early.
First one of many.
We'll be back with the recap of this, and I forget what fights are coming up, but everything's starting to roll.
Oh, yeah, we loaded, so we're going to be back-to-back soon.
Yeah, we'll be back regular scheduled programming. Appreciate y'all.
You've been blessed. Attention.
Again, go like, go comment, go subscribe. I'm Paul Pickenwinnem, Marcus Primetime Penley, Gator, Jamari, Southpaw Run Boxing. And as always, if y'all didn't know, well, now y'all know, motherfuckers.